Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. If you haven't met yet, my name is Jamie. I get to be the pastor of East Cobb Church. So glad to be here with you today. And I got a question to get us started this morning. When was the last time, not just the last time, that something didn't turn out the way you thought it would? When's that last time for you? I know it happens all the time. What was the last time? Maybe it was a home project you've been working on, didn't turn out that way you thought it would. Maybe it was something you were cooking for the family. Maybe it was an idea you had at work and you were like, so sure it was gonna go this way. And then sure enough, it didn't turn out quite that way. For me, the last one that I can remember was the last time I tried to take a nap. I don't get to take naps that often because we have four kids. But this particular day off, our day off's on Friday in East Cobb Church, and no one was at home. Kids were at school. It was just me and the dogs. And I'm like, I'm taking a nap. Like, this is happening. You know, I was excited. And so sure enough, I start watching TV and I'm like dozing off, you know, getting in the zone. The dogs are asleep. They like boom, turn off instantly. You know, dogs are. And just as I'm about to fall asleep, I guess a FedEx truck pulls into the neighborhood. And my dogs, with their supersonic sleep hearing, Colonel Mustard, my dog, does the, from dead asleep to like full sprint in an instant. And I wake up when he goes Mach 5 into the side of my head. He's just, and I'm like, ah, you know, woke up so mad. Like, that's like, stop the bleeding and research pet adoption centers. I was like, all right, we can try again. You know, so I'm about to fall asleep again. Zzz, hey, it's my wife. Hey, babe, there's groceries on the porch. Can you get them, bring them in? Yeah, sure, I can do that. Yeah. Zzz, someone from work. Oh, yeah, I have a question about Sunday. Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. And then the nail in the coffin. Zzz, hey, one of your kids isn't feeling well. You're going to need to come pick it up. I'm like, no. You know, I love the little booger. Don't get me wrong. But like, ah, oh, I wanted to nap so bad. No, not for daddy. That was the last time. But these kinds of things happen all the time in life. Just a part of life. You think things are going to go one way and it turns out they go another. In fact, to illustrate this, I enlisted the help of AI, artificial intelligence. Have you guys ever played with the image generators, the picture generators in AI? You can ask it to make a picture and it will. And so I was like, let's just run some scenarios where we experience it in life. Like, for example, AI, show me how we think car ride in the morning to school with the kids. Some of us do that every day. How do we dream and think that's going to go? And it was like, yeah, here you go. That's it. It's like, oh, so peaceful. It's just great. Everybody's getting along. They're doing homework. Probably listening to worship music. I'm so spiritual. You know, like that's how we dream it's going to go. You know, think it's going to go. A lot of the times, this is how it actually goes. I was like, AI, show me chaos in the car. And AI was like, yeah, that's it right there. It's like screaming at each other. The coffee has melded with the steering wheel. Like, what is even happening there? I don't know. And like, man, sometimes that's how it really goes, you know? Normal life stuff right there. Or I was like, hey, how about work? AI, show me an ideal, you know, perfectly peaceful, wonderful work day, like the way it's supposed to be. And that was it. Look at this guy. You know, he's making deals. He's getting raises. He's got an email that literally just says promotion. You know, it's like, let's go. What's not to like? And that's how we always hope it goes. We sometimes dream it's going to be that way, but that's not real life all the time. Sometimes it looks a lot more like this. I was like, AI, show me a bad day at work. And this guy, couple things here, gets an email from his boss saying, we need to talk. And AI's like, and he needs some Pepto, because you know that. And do y'all see his hand? There's like a disembodied hand, just like, that's kind of creepy. Okay, then lastly, here's another one. I was like, hey, AI, show me a big celebration, something going really great for your kid. You know, we all dream of that happening, right? And AI was like, here you go, yeah. Here she is. She's getting into Georgia. There she is. We're in Georgia. Don't know what that says. But she's happy. We're celebrating. And that's how we always think it's going to go. We hope it's going to go. We dream it's going to go. But then reality is oftentimes a little different. I was like, show me when it goes wrong, AI. And this is what it made. This is her getting waitlisted. Oh. I think my favorite part, other than the just wildly large amount of tissues, was the dog is really sad. Look at that dog. So much so, I think he pooped on the carpet over there. AI's like, yeah, that's going to happen when you get waitlisted to Georgia. Your dog is just going to lose it. But I mean, funny games, but that's just like, that's life. One of the fixtures of life is that sometimes things don't turn out the way we think they're going to. And of course, you know, for all of us, it's not just times like those pictures. It's not just like car rides that later we probably laugh about. No, for every single one of us in the room, we've also had moments when life did not turn out the way we thought it was. And it was pretty serious Like, it was a really big deal. Like, when life was going great, and then all of a sudden, you lost your job. Oh my gosh, you know? Like, life was going great, but then all of a sudden, you got a diagnosis, or someone in you love got a diagnosis that rocked your world, or you got served divorce papers, or your kids hit a speed bump in life, and you're like, I don't even know if it's gonna be okay. Like, how are we gonna figure it out? How are we gonna be okay? Or life was going great, but then all of a sudden you realize your financial picture just took a downturn and you don't know how you're gonna make it work. Or life was going great, but then you suddenly realized the dream that you've been holding on for a long time was slipping away and you were running out of time. And then all of a sudden, those moments when life doesn't go the way we thought it was gonna go, there's no after at all. There's just a whole host of other emotions, things like sadness, fear, anger, anxiety, frantic desire to control everything. Perhaps a little bit of hopelessness starts to creep in, perhaps a little bit of despair. But that is life. That is life. It doesn't always go the way we think it's gonna go, the way we dreamed it would go. And in those moments, what we're looking for in these moments, what we're longing for in these moments is something that's so simple and yet simultaneously really deeply profound. What we're longing for in these little and big moments of life is peace. Everybody say peace. Peace. Peace isn't simply the absence of conflict or the absence of noise. Peace is the state of being where everything is as it should be. That's peace. Peace is when all is as it should be. And that's what we're longing for. We are all looking for peace, especially in these moments, right? We're looking for peace without, like we in our circumstances and the outcomes of our life, in the crazy schedules that we all lead. We're like, hey, can it just like be the way it's supposed to be for a minute? Can it just go like it's supposed to go? That would be really great right now. I could really use it to be, you know, peace. I could really use that right now. We're all looking for on one hand, peace without, but even if we can't get that, because that's pretty hard to get in life, we're at least hoping for peace within, right? The idea that I'm gonna be okay, that it is well with my soul. I have peace within, even if I don't always have peace without. We are all looking for peace. But the hard truth of life is that so few of us seem to be finding it, at least the way that we're hoping to find it. Like I was looking online, and every single study that I could find where somebody asks a group of people, what are you looking for more of in life the most? Like, what are you most looking for more of in your life? Peace is on every single one of them, like one after one, another after another, after another, after another. And most of the time it's in the top three. Oh, I just need more peace. Just need more peace. I need life the way it was like supposed to be. And the negative trend is also true. I was looking at a study from the American a Psychiatric Association, and it said that at least 50% of people, and this was in 2024, report that they are more anxious, they have more anxiety this year than they did the previous year. And then that number has been increasing for at least 5 straight years as they've been asking this question. More anxiety, more anxiety. And the chances are a lot of you in the room, you're listening to that and you're going, yeah, that's me. Like, I totally identify with everything you're saying. I mean, maybe nobody knows, maybe nobody has any idea, but just, it's like, it's you. Like, yeah, I'm totally one of those people, been there, done that. The unfortunate reality is, the reality that nobody has to remind you of, and I certainly don't need to convince you of, is this, that we are low on peace as a culture. But oftentimes, just as a family, as individuals, we're low on peace. We're low on peace. And the other thing that I don't have to convince you of or remind you of is this truth right here, that the consequences of not having peace are significant, right? I don't have to convince you of that. Because man, when I'm low on peace, I am usually simultaneously high on fear. Usually simultaneously high on stress, high on anger, high on the frantic need to control everything. Probably high on guilt for I'm not getting it right and can't keep things in line where they're supposed to be. Anybody feel me on that? Anybody with me in that? Anybody right now trying to keep a lid on your fear, a lid on your anger? You're not really sure why? Yeah, that's real. And if that's you, you're not alone. But that's just the beginning, right? Because anxiety doesn't just take a toll emotionally. it also takes a toll physically. Isn't it crazy how anxiety takes a toll physically? Like it starts gnawing at your sleep, starts gnawing at your energy and your focus and your mood. It starts gnawing at like your actual health. Like you could see it showing up in your body and in your life. It's wild how anxiety does that. But that's not even the worst part. The worst part of it is that anxiety eventually starts showing up in your relationships. It starts showing up at work. It starts showing up in your marriage or in your time with your kids. It starts showing up in your decisions, in your actions and your reactions. It starts showing up in your joy or lack thereof, in your hope for the future or your lack thereof, your confidence in yourself or your lack thereof. And to make matters worse, we sense that it's happening. Anytime you're going through anxiety and these things are happening, you sense it. You're like, I know something's wrong. I can see all this stuff happening. And so we try to do something about it. But the problem is we're not always sure what to do. I mean, all these questions about like what do I do with this? Do I distract myself from it and just like work more, party harder, go? Do I try to numb myself, you know, just drink more or use more or whatever the thing is that you do? Do I try to consume my way out of it? You know, whether it's food or sex or porn or adrenaline or shopping or video games or whatever thing is that you run to. Is that what I do? Or do I power up and like fight my way through it and control my way through it? Do I power down and withdraw until it's over? I mean, there's so many different ways that we respond to anxiety. But we're all tempted to do the same one general thing. We are all tempted to do things and run to things that are no good for us, that are no good for the people we love, that are no good for the plans that God has for us, things that bring us no more lasting peace than we had before. So that's the tough news about life. It's just true. All of us. Number one, we're low on peace. But even worse, low peace has a high price. Low peace has a high price, and we all know it. We've all experienced it. So that's my question for you this morning. Where are you low on peace right now? Where do you lack peace? Where are you like, man, life, it's not the way it ought to be. Where do you lack peace? And what's it costing you? What has it cost you? I'm pretty sure you have an answer. And the reason I'm so certain is because I have one. A couple weekends ago, several, I guess, at this point, it was just a weekend hanging out, and it was an awesome day. Slept in, great morning, weather was amazing, it's like spring's here. And we had nothing on the calendar, which is so great, right? You know, when you're like, I don't have anything to do. I was like, this is awesome, I'm gonna do whatever I want. You know, we're like hanging out, we're shooting hoops, I'm gonna play video games with my son, I'm gonna have fun, you know, it's gonna be great. So it's a perfect day off for me. And yet, weirdly, I find myself randomly standing in the kitchen, and I can't catch my breath. I'm like, you know, I'm like, it's like, I can't get a full breath. And it's like, I kind of feel like my heart's like beating a little bit, you know, I'm just like, what is going on? This is so weird. I'm having an awesome day. So I go to a counselor, I see a guy regularly in our network just for professional and personal well-being and maintenance, happened to have an appointment. I was like, dude, what the heck is going on? Dude, let me tell you what happened this weekend. It's like, he's like, weird. Yeah. Well, how are you doing? Like, how's your life? How's work? I'm like, oh yeah, well, no, work's great. You know? Well, we got a lot going on. We got this like deeper wire campaign. We're like designing this new building, trying to get the interiors. And it's pretty stressful. It's a lot of work. I want it to be perfect. You know, working really hard on that. How's home? Nah, Sarah's great. Kids are great. Well, I mean, two of our kids are facing some challenges, honestly stressing me out. Like, I'm kind of really worried about it. I'm like, I don't really know what to do. I'm trying to help. It's like, oh, I don't know. We're really praying for them. But like, you know, it's just fine. It's fine. Oh, and you know, we're doing this big, pretty decent sized like house project. It's taking a lot of my margin. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out that and finish it off. Oh, and oh yeah, like one of our like really close family members is having a major health crisis. And it's been super emotional season. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. But I mean, I'm like, I'm fine. You know? And that's when I learned that I have no idea how anxiety works. You know, in the next 15 minutes, okay? And so I just wanted to tell you what I've learned about anxiety. Now, clearly, I'm not a professional psychiatrist, so don't like write this down as like, you know, this is a book report. Yeah, just, you go to somebody else. This is just what I have learned about anxiety. Did you know that anxiety comes from the limbic system in the brain? Mm-hmm. The limbic system is what you might call the emotional center or emotional side of your brain. Very important side, right? It also simultaneously has a very close relationship with the other side of your brain, the other part of your brain, and that is the cognitive part of your brain. That's the part of your brain that thinks and processes and reasons and figures stuff out, right? And here's where anxiety comes in. When circumstances happen, right? Like think the AI pictures or the other examples I've given. When negative or traumatic or bad circumstances come your way, it elicits a response from the emotional side of your brain, right? Think like fear, worry, anger, whatever, all down the list. And simultaneously, when that happens, the cognitive side of your brain's like, ooh, we got to get working, right? The cognitive side of your brain starts doing what it does, doing its thing. It's like, we got to figure this out. We got to process what's going on. We need to distill it down, figure it out, make a plan, chart a course through, and let's reassure ourselves we're going to be fine. That's what its job is. Usually that works just fine. And your brain just does that. That's what happens inside of your brain. And it works really until this moment. It works until the level of emotional brain distress exceeds the capacity of your cognitive brain's ability to cope. And that gap is anxiety, right? Think of it like a rising tide, you know, like that. It's like when the tide rises in your emotional brain, and it rises to the point that it eclipses your cognitive brain's ability to figure it out and be okay. And that's what was happening to me. It wasn't one thing. It was what? It's all the things. Yes, it's all the things. It's like the tide had risen too high for too long. And that's why all of a sudden I'm having trouble breathing on an amazing day off. And you know what made me the most mad, honestly, is that the whole thing felt out of my control. That ticked me off, right? Because like going back to this chart, I'm like, I can't control those circumstances. Like, I'm old enough to know that. I don't get to control the circumstances that come my way. And I've only got so much of this, you know, finite resources over here. And I just felt like at the mercy of the tide. And that made me so mad. I hate that. And here's the truth. Truth is, in some form and to some degree, you've been there too. I know it. In some form and to some degree, you've been in the exact same position, and you've probably been there a lot. Maybe you're there right now. You don't have peace and you're paying a price. And if I were to ask you, what do you do about it? Your answer would be the same as the one I've had for most of my life. And it would just be, I don't know. I mean, I've tried a lot of things. They don't work. But I don't know. That was my answer for a huge chunk of my life until I started following Jesus. And from him and through time, and yes, with a lot of trial and error, I have learned to have and find, or at least start working my way back to peace. I've learned from him through time with a lot of trial and error how to do that. And so that's no longer my only answer. And so if any of what I'm saying sounds familiar today, you're like, any part of you is like, yep, low peace, high price. Then I want to talk to you about something today. Here's what I'm gonna do, two things. I want to point you to Jesus, and I want to invite you to try something that I think could be a game changer for you in your pursuit of peace. And I mean that whether you are a Christian or not. I think what we're gonna talk about today is something that anybody in the room can try, no matter who you are, and see results. I wanna talk about that. So I wanna point you to Jesus, and I wanna invite you to try something. I don't know if you do this, but Jesus is in fact an expert on peace. High authority on peace. You want me to prove it? Have you heard the story of Jesus in the boat with his disciples? There's actually two of them in the Bible, but the one I'm thinking of is the one where he was in a little like fishing boat with his disciples. And it says, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake. Not a small one, a furious one. So that the waves swept over the boat. So they're going to sink. And these guys don't really swim, so they're going to drown, as you'll see in a second. However, Jesus was sleeping in the boat. The disciples went and woke him, and they're like, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And Jesus wakes up famously, and he calms the wind and the waves, and he saves them. Now, I don't know how you guys felt a couple weekends ago when that storm rolled through and the tornado sirens are going off. I didn't have peace. There was no peace in our house, very little peace. Well, this man, Jesus, is in a boat in a raging storm, and he's got so much peace, he's taking a nap. In fact, I asked AI to show me this as well. I was like, AI, I want you to draw me, show me Jesus in the boat, in the storm, with peace. And this is what it drew. I'm like, couple things. He's got a like hotel level pillow in the boat, which I'm like, where did that come from? But it also should be noted that sharks are not in the Sea of Galilee, but it makes it so much better. You're like, yeah, that's so much cooler. Jesus is like, I ain't worried about the shark. What are you guys talking about? But that's him. That's him in this moment. It's like no anxiety, no fear, no panic, just peace. And I know that's a joke, but like seriously, that's what we want. That's what we want. That's what we're looking for. I'm looking for the power to have peace in the middle of life's storms. That's what I'm looking for. I want to be like him. I mean, like he knew something. He had something going on. He had a perspective. He had a power that allowed him to have extraordinary peace throughout his whole life. And you really do see this throughout his whole life, not just in the storm story. Let me just give you like two glaring examples. When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, moments before he's going to be arrested, tried, and executed, he knows all this is coming. He prays, God, not my will, but your will be done. God, I am at peace with whatever you bring my way. When he is hanging on the cross, being executed and mocked by the people that are executing him, he says out loud, you know these words, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You're like, what? Lashes out at nobody, angry at nobody. He was a man of peace who lived at peace in a way that we only dream of. And that's why I think the next verse I want to share with you, the next moment that I want to share with you through the scriptures is really, really profound, because there was a moment when Jesus said, he looked at his disciples and he said to them, and I think he's looking at you through the scriptures today, and he's saying to you, he said this, he goes, peace I leave with you. More specifically, my peace, I'm going to give you. Like, hey, you know the peace that I had in the boat in the storm or in the garden or on the cross? I want to give it to you. And it gets better. He says, and I do not give it to you like the world gives. I'm not talking about these temporary solutions, like let's go distract ourselves or numb ourselves or just stick our head in the sand. No, no, no. I'm talking about lasting peace. And he's saying, I can give that to you. And I believe that he is offering it to you right here, right now, today. And that's why he says, so do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. And evidently, this offer was real. Evidently, it was not just some verse, some pie in the sky, like, oh, that makes me feel good, whatever. Evidently, it actually worked, at least for the people in the first century. Because not too many years later, the Apostle Paul, you know, the guy that wrote most of the New Testament, he wrote the following words to a group of first century Christians at the church in Philippi. And he wrote these words to them as if it was an actual possible outcome that they could experience because of Jesus. He writes these words right here. He wrote to them, do not be anxious about anything. I'm sorry, what? Do not be anxious. So be anxious is an active verb. It's an ongoing verb, meaning do not stay anxious. Like if you get anxious, that's one thing. It's like, but no, but don't you remain anxious. Don't you stay in that state about anything. And that's insane. I mean, instantly the skeptic in me, I'm in pretty skeptical, critical mind. And I'm like, what are you even talking about, dude? That makes no, this is impossible. Don't be anxious about anything. That's so impractical and impossible. And yet that's what Paul believed. Paul and the first century Christians, they actually believed. And more importantly, it seems like that they experienced this to be possible. Peace is possible, argues Paul. Peace is possible, argues Paul. You're like, well, how? Well, here's how. Because you're going to give it to God. You're going to get God involved. That's how. You're going to get God involved. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't stay anxious about anything. Instead, here's what you're going to do. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests, your problems, your needs, your whatever to God. In other words, he's like, hey, you know the guy in the boat that was sleeping, him? The Savior, who through the power of the Holy Spirit says he wants to give you peace, you're going to create room for him to do that. That's how. How is this going to reality in my life? You're going to create room for him to do that in you. And you're going to do that by presenting. That's the word he says, by presenting, by giving you and your needs and your problems and your fears and your anger and whatever guilt you're carrying and like the needs that you're not sure they're going to be met, the future that you're not really sure is secure, your marriage that's struggling or your kids that are struggling or your finances that aren't looking too great or work that's not going well or just the general chaos that you feel like your life is under, you're going to present that. You're going to like give that to him. You're going to give that to him. And when you do, something supernatural is going to happen. And by supernatural, I just mean outside the norm of how things naturally go. Something spiritual is going to happen. Something's going to happen at like the soul level. He says, you're going to present you and everything that's given you anxiety and you're worried about, you're going to go here. I'm going to give it to you. And then the peace of God, not your peace, his peace, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. I'll come back to that. Hold on to that. The peace of God's going to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Do you have an expert in your life? That's what he's talking about here. Do you have an expert in your life that when you bring them a problem, you don't worry about it anymore? Do you have anybody like that? Maybe like a mechanic with your car. You're like, okay, just, they're going to take care of it, you know? Or maybe it's a handyman, whoever that is in your life that can fix things. You're like, are they here? Are they here? Okay, it's going to be fine. He'll fix it, you know? I don't know if you feel that way. Maybe it's about the police or your mom or your dad or some mentor in your life. You're like, hey, if I can just get this problem to them and then get them on the scene of the problem, everything's going to be fine. I am not worried. So that's what's going on in this verse. Paul is saying, when you give your anxiety to God, when you give it to him and you get him in it, who he is, how much he loves you, and how willing he is to leverage his power and his resources for you, that will literally guard your heart and your mind from anxiety. In other words, there is a huge difference between, oh no, I'm not sure how we're going to make ends meet, and oh God, I don't know how we're going to make ends meet. There's a huge difference between, oh no, I don't know what to do or where to go right now. And, oh God, I don't know what to do or where to go right now. There's a huge difference between, oh no, my marriage is in trouble. And, oh God, my marriage is in trouble. Help. There's a huge difference between, oh no, my father is sick. And, oh God, heavenly father who can do anything. My father is sick. There's a big difference between, oh no, and oh God. And that's the difference between anxiety and peace. One troubles your heart and your mind. The other guards your heart and your mind. And Paul is saying, hey, what if you saw God like that? You know, like the mechanic or the whatever. What if you came to him like that? Because by the way, isn't that what you want? Isn't that what we're looking for? Isn't that what we want? Like someone, anyone, anything that could guard our hearts and our minds from anxiety or in 2025 with all the stuff we're going to have to deal with? Yeah, 1,000%. That's what we're looking for. I honestly, when I read this verse, part of me is just blown away. I'm like, how in the world did someone from the first century so hit the bullseye on what I'm personally looking for in my life in 2025? Like, that's wild to me. But I'm like, yeah, that's what I need. That's what I want. I just want somebody to guard something, someone, anything to guard my heart and my mind. And Paul and the first century Christians are like, yeah, it's possible. They believed it was possible. They believed that Jesus had given us peace and that it was available to you and me right now. And here's the cool thing. Don't miss this. I'm going to go back to that phrase. He said, it's a peace that transcends understanding. You remember I said there's the emotional brain and the cognitive brain, the understanding brain. God is offering you a peace that's bigger than your ability to understand. It's a peace that defies understanding, that does not lean on your understanding. It leans on his power and provision. Your peace lasts as long as your mental resources do, but God's peace keeps on going. Paul's like, that's what he's offering you. So that's what I wanted you to know. This is the part I want you to know. We're gonna talk about what to do here right now. The thing I want you to know today is really just two things. One is that anxiety is expected. If you're like, man, if I'm like struggling with anxiety, does that make me a weak person? Or am I like a weak Christian? Or my faith is lame? No, it's in the Bible. Like, God was expecting anxiety to come your way. That's why he's talking about it, okay? Anxiety is expected. But number two, what I want you to know is that peace is possible. Peace is possible. And that is really good news. Low peace has a high price. Low peace has a high price. And God doesn't want that for you. God has so much more for you. He has more for me. He wants you to experience his peace so that you can live in joy and purpose and experience the life that he has for you. God has more for you. And so as we close, I want to tell you three simple steps for how you can start experiencing more peace in your life and in your family and in your workplace and in whatever it is you do with your time. Three steps for how you can begin trading your anxiety for God's peace. Three steps that I am doing every day in my life currently right now. And they're three steps that anybody else can do as well, no matter your like spiritual level or your like how advanced a Christian you are. They're three steps that you can do even if you're not a Christian. Because here's the deal. Though all three of these steps, they come directly from the scripture. They're like God's principles for how you do this. They're also just principles of wisdom. And the cool thing about wisdom is that it's available to anyone and everyone. So even if you're not a Christian, I think you're going to hear, I hope you will hear and extract the principles in this that you can take and apply in your life like right now to begin finding peace. And this is what I'm calling these three steps that I'm calling, or I've named, the practice of peace, okay? The practice of peace. And they're called the practice of peace because you have to practice them. That's the point. These aren't one-off things that you do it. You're like, check, I've got peace. Like, no, it's not this. These are in the category of things that you do every day. You know, like going to the gym and working out or brushing your teeth or like hugging your spouse. It's like the payoff is in the practice. Like you just do it over time and that's what it is. And so what I'm about to give you, the practice of peace, this is like the play you run during those everyday life seasons of chaos, stress, and pressure. And it's how you're going to find peace. You're going to do this regularly. It's also the weapon you wield when you're in the big storms. It's the weapon you wield in your battle for joy and your battle for hope and your battle for your life. When those big storms come your way, the practices of peace. Now, I thought about calling it the prescription for peace, but I was like, that would be confusing because someone's gonna be like, bro, the prescription for peace is called Xanax. We already have that. I was like, that'd be a little confusing. And by the way, this is really important. What I'm about to give you, it is not meant to be a replacement for or a critique of going to counseling or taking medications that are prescribed by your doctor. No, to the contrary, it should work together with those things. These practices that I'm about to give you that you see right on here in this handout, they may not be all that is required for you to experience the full peace that God has for you. Sometimes he will also bring along the right people to speak into your life. We talk about it all the time here at church. Sometimes he'll also bring along the right remedy, you know, like medicine. It's a gift from God when used correctly. Sometimes that's a part of it. Sometimes he'll bring along the right conviction because you're doing some things you need to stop doing or things in your life you need to change because you're part of the peace problem and you need to like fix that. And he's going to call you that. So sometimes all that other stuff will be a part of the plan as well. But what I'm meant to give you is what I believe to be like the bare minimum that you need to be practicing in your life to walk in and experience peace. Because without these, I don't think you're going to ultimately find it because I believe that it ultimately comes from God. Cool? So here we go. The three practices of peace. The three simple ways that we can begin doing what Paul is telling us to do and urging us to do in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, that verse that we've been reading. And number one is this, be still. Everybody say, be still. Be still. If your life, your heart, if your soul isn't at peace, then you need to slow down. You need to stop hurrying. And you need to create space. You need to create space. Your life, and your rhythm, and your calendar. And you need to create some space so that your brain can catch up, so that the tide can lower, so that healing and restoration can start to happen. And they will happen. Here's why. Because you're not going to just use all that space for nothing. You're going to take at least a part of it, and you're going to create space for God. That's what you're going to do. You're going to create space for God. As the psalmist says, writing words from God himself, God said, hey, be still. But not just that. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know, remember, remind yourself, see for yourself, I am God, your God, your heavenly Father. That's the first practice of peace. If you want to pursue and practice peace, then you need to be still. You need to carve out time in your calendar. I would recommend every single morning that you wake up a little bit early and do this, and you be still and you remember, discover, and know that he is God. That's a practice of peace. Anybody can do that, no matter who you are. So how are you going to be still? How am I going to know that he's God? Well, once you've decided to be still, number two, you're going to, while you're still, you're going to look up. Everybody say, look up. That's what Jesus said was key to fighting worry. He was like, this is the number one key to fighting worry in your life. He said, you have to look up. You got to look up. That's really important. These are the words he said. He was talking about physical needs. Like, hey, don't worry so much about what you're going to eat or drink and make ends meet. He goes, hey, look up. Here's what he said. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Hey, if you'll look up for a second, you'll not just see the birds. You're going to see your heavenly Father providing for them. And he asks this question, are you not much more valuable than they? The answer is yeah. Do you know what's so ingenious and powerful about this? Jesus is teaching you and he's teaching me to compare the right things, right? Because when you compare your circumstances and your needs to you and your ability, anxiety, you know? All of a sudden you're nervous, all of a sudden you're anxious, all of a sudden you're angry, all of a sudden you're yelling on the sidelines of a t-ball game and you're like, I don't even know what's wrong with me, you know? But when you compare your circumstances and your needs to the resources of your heavenly Father, not even a comparison. When you look up, you remember or you realize for the first time that all the resources of heaven and earth belong to him. And out of all of them, the thing he loves the most is you. You're his son. You're his daughter. And he will never leave you or forsake you. And no matter how much bigger your need may be than you, it is never going to be bigger than him. And he's going to take care of you. You got to look up. And that principle applies not just to like needs. It applies to everything. Like if guilt is robbing you of peace, you're always like, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. And it's robbing you of peace. You need to look up. You need to look up at the Savior who paid for your sins with his own blood. And you need to remember that though you may be no match for the weight of your sin, it is no match for the depth of his grace. And there is no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. The only judgment that God makes over you are the words, you are mine. You need to look up. Or when uncertainty is robbing you of peace, you need to look up and remember that he knows the plans he has for you. You are his workmanship, says the scriptures, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He's prepared in advance for you. And so, yeah, maybe the uncertainties of this world are overwhelming to you, but they are no match for the certainty of your heavenly Father who created you on purpose for a purpose. And so in those moments when we're just doing this, like this is all we're doing, just looking at oh, the need, oh my gosh, the guilt, oh my gosh, the uncertainty, I don't know. Jesus is going, hey, you gotta like look up. Yeah, look up. Because what you see when you look up, what you hear from your heavenly Father when you listen up has the power to change everything. So no matter who you are, Christian or not, I invite you to look up to whomever, whatever you believe is up there, but I believe it's Jesus. Look up. And that leads to the third thing, because when you do that, when you look up, the only next appropriate response is just to open your hands. Open your hands. And you realize who he is, how much he loves you, and how ready he is to leverage his power, his resources for you. The only natural response is just to be like... And it's really in two ways. One hand, it's surrender. It's, hey, God, wow. Okay, I'm going to give this to you. You know, think mechanic, right? Here you go. I'm giving this to you. In fact, I'm going to give everything to you because your hands are the best hands that my life and my future could ever be in. So God, I'm just going to give everything and everyone to you, including the thing that's causing me anxiety. And in return, number two, will you just give me what I need for today? Will you just give me what I need for today? That's it. And I mean today. You know, Jesus said this to us. He's like, hey, you got to stop worrying about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. He knows how prone we are. We borrow worry from tomorrow all the time. We borrow for worry from next week and next month. And Jesus is like, no, you let me handle tomorrow. I'm going to give you what you need for today. And then I'll do it again tomorrow. And then I'll do it again tomorrow. One day at a time. Just open your hands. So that is the practice of peace. Be still. Look up and open your hands. And that's what I would like to invite you to do. Wherever it is that you lack peace, I would love to invite you to join me in doing that for 1 month and see what happens. Go find a time to be still. Again, I'd suggest the mornings. And then once you get there, spend like 5 minutes. I mean, it could be 15, it could be 50, whatever, but 5 minutes at least. And look up. I'm like, well, how do I look up? How am I, you know, you gotta look up. You gotta look up and compare your anxieties to God and not just to you. And you're like, well, how do I do that? Well, I have found spiritually that my eyes often follow my ears, okay? So I gave you all the verses that I've said today right here. And this is how you're gonna look up. You're gonna like read this and it's gonna make you look up to God and remember, oh yeah, God, oh yeah, oh yeah. Okay, you're just gonna read one or all of these. And then with whatever time you have left, just literally, like maybe physically open your hands and just say, okay, God, in light of that, I'm gonna give this to you. Give me what I need. I'm giving it to you. Give me what I need. Amen. And practice peace, practice peace, practice peace. If you feel like, hey, I need some more help than that, I'd like someone to guide me through that. Well, I've added a QR code here to an app that I use every day. It's called the Pause app. And there are 1, 3, 5, and 10 minute guided prayers on there that will pray this exact kind of prayer. And it's great little music in the background. This guy leads you through it, or a girl leads you through it. There's different voices. I love it. They also have just music track on there. So I'll like listen to one that's guided, and then I'll just pray whatever I want afterwards as well. But I just commend that to you. But I'm inviting you, practice peace with me. Anxiety is expected, but peace is possible. So go live in peace. Go be at peace. Go parent in peace. Go work at peace. Go build your life in peace. Why? Because you understand everything? No, you never will. But he wants to give you the peace that surpasses understanding, right? So do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, give it to God. And the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Today, we're going to end a little differently. We're going to end with a time of reflection as a whole church family. Even a time of response. I'm going to guide some of it with you, for you, and then we're going to have some time for you just to thank and pray however you want. But let's just start here. I just want to take a moment and do this right now. Is that okay? So I would love to invite you right now, get in whatever posture of prayer feels comfortable for you. If you want to close your eyes, do that. If you want to bow your head, whatever. But let's just be still. Take a breath. And let's be still. And now I want you to think about the thing that is causing you the most anxiety in life right now. The thing that is robbing you of peace the most. And think about it. And now with that in mind, I want you to look up. Look up. Is it a need that you're worried about? His provision is enough for you. Is it guilt that's robbing you of peace? His grace is enough for you. Is it uncertainty that's robbing you of peace? He has a plan for you. He knows where he's taking you. Look up and remember that. Realize that. And in light of that, right where you are, just open your hands. Maybe literally open your hands right now. Just open your hands and say, in light of that, God, I'm giving it to you. Just tell him that. I'm giving it to you. Give me what I need for today. Say that to him. I'm giving it to you. Give me what I need for today. God, give us peace. We're going to close with a song. I'd love to invite you to continue to do this. You have that card. You have verses. Be still. Look up. Open your hands. But I'd also like to invite you, if you want, to come forward today. I've been asked about some of our pastors and our prayer team to be down front. And I'd love to give you an opportunity. And a bunch of people took us up on this last service. Just to come down front and pray. If you would like for somebody to pray a prayer of peace over you, we would love to pray for you. And they're coming right now. If you have someone in your life that you want to pray a prayer of peace over, we would love to pray that prayer with you. There is power in prayer. If you'd like to just talk to somebody about what you're going through and like figure out how can I process this some more, we would love to talk with you. I would love to talk with you. Or if you just like to do something tangible to go before God and say, hey, I just need your help. And you just want to come down front and pray, come down. And by the way, if you're one of those courageous types that you're like, hey, I want to come down front, it would be really helpful if you just go first because all the rest of us are too scared to go first. Like, I'm never going to be the first one, you know? So like, if that's you, just like do it. Marwan is already here. I love you so much, Marwan. That was awesome. But let's use this time, pray, think, and come down front, starting right now.